Hey, Jason here. Today's video, we get back to part 6 of analyzing white points. This video, we're just going to get straight to it. If you want to see the other 5 parts before this, they will be in the links below this. But we're going to continue right where we left off and continue analyzing white point. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to let you know you can get this series as a podcast anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms. Stitcher, Anchor, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and more. It's part of the I Love Value Investing podcast anywhere in the world for free. And if you like this video here on YouTube and our other videos, make sure to subscribe and hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video and release new videos all the time. Good. So last time, we left off here, where we found a potentially massive red flag. And not necessarily a massive red flag as in this is a potentially, like, fraudulent company, but a potentially massive red flag in terms of substantially lower revenues, operating profits, cash flows, those kind of things. That's why this was a massive red flag. But we're going to continue the analysis to see what else we find. This, again, is largely this massive increase from 2019 to 2020, largely due to the census contract that we talked about last time. Again, they're losing that census contract this year because censuses in the U.S. are only done once every 10 years. So that was the red flag and lost revenue. Costs rose substantially because of that as well. We likely had to hire more people. Yeah, some billable service fee contracts, inventory costs, blah, 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 blah. If you haven't seen the other videos on white point, I read these word for word when I do them myself. But for these purposes and not boring you to death, I am going to kind of scan things to show you potential red flags, show you how to read financial statements better, faster, more efficiently, find red flags, find potential hidden assets. And again, you can get those other white point videos below this in the description for free. Okay, and these expenses are all make sense for the increase in revenues and costs. Provision for income taxes. Okay, reversal of valuation allowance for net operating loss carryforwards. I believe we talked about that before. I know we talked about the net operating loss carryforwards. I don't know if we talked about the valuation allowance. What these are, valuation allowances, are how much the company thinks they're worth based on accounting rules and regulations that they have to abide by. When there's a valuation allowance, it means they're written off. When there's a reversal of the valuation allowance, the value is reinstated, either fully or partially. Massive increase in net income from $10.3 million to $200,000 in 2019. Due to, in large part, according to them, the census project. They have a credit facility. That's good. It gives them more margin of safety if they have some kind of emergency. Credit facility or a line of credit is kind of, it's kind of like a bank credit card. You have, in this case, up to $5 million to spend. And if you spend, let's say, $1 million, then you can get $1 million, access to $1 million like that, without having to go through the process of getting a loan or anything. And then you only pay interest on that loan when there's money taken out. This, again, I believe we talked about this before in one of the other videos, $24 million in common stock they can sell. That would dilute shareholders if they have to issue that, because as of right now, their market cap keeps fluctuating as we make these videos. But it is, I'm checking my phone. It is $52 million. So that would dilute shareholders by almost half. And that would be a massive issue if they did that. Again, that is a potential risk. And just in case I didn't put this in here, I'll put that in here as a potential risk of share. And again, if you didn't watch the other videos, if you didn't watch the other videos, what we're doing over here on the left side of the screen is this is the exact process I would go through anytime I evaluate a stock, finding risks, finding potential risks, highlighting things, noting things, and doing all that. This, again, we're at 8 pages of notes now. And these, again, these are exact things I would look for and make note of when I'm doing this analysis myself. The reason I'm showing you this is, again, what I said at the beginning to help you figure out how to, or to help you learn how to read and evaluate financial statements better and faster. More information on this. Page number in here. Again, just more details on this. This is something to note. Again, I'm not going to note this. If you missed the other videos, something I've talked about quite a lot is my dad was in the Air Force growing up. So I have a lot of knowledge, not necessarily of the inner workings of these kind of agreements, but I do know that there's a lot of bureaucracy involved with federal government and Department of Defense contracts. So this, again, if you don't know this, this would be something to note. But in the things of note section, for me, this is just kind of something that I know from my years, kind of understanding this kind of stuff. Again, what we're seeing here is they just where they're investing their money, where they're getting their money from. This is pretty much straightforward stuff, although they do go into some detail on specific projects that they're working on to upgrade hardware and software. Not super important. In these cases, some of these, again, if these were worth more money or they were longer term or they had other issues, I don't see any red flags or anything major of note in any of this. They have issued some shares at this at-the-market sales program to raise cash, $4.3 million. They have another $24 million to go. Again, that's something we need to watch very carefully at the company. Exchange rate, not a huge deal for a small company usually. Yeah, $155,000. Okay, this is usually important. Credit facilities and other commitments. There were no outstanding borrowings currently on the credit facility, so that means they don't have to pay any interest on it. They have a prime rate plus 0.25% is the rate. So the prime rate of whatever, 2% or whatever it is now, plus 0.25% is the interest rate on any money they would take out on that. This right here gets into standards they have to keep to continue their credit facility. Again, I've known this for a long time. This stuff is very standard. If you don't know this or if you're newer, I would note this. But this is very standard stuff. You typically have to keep some kind of standards, whether it's you have debt payments or a credit facility. So this most likely got renewed again. What we're doing here is we're reading the annual first. Why? Because it's the longest, first of all, takes the longest to go through. It also has the most information. Quarterlies they're not audited, and they don't have full information on things like contractual obligations and some of the other footnotes and stuff we're going to talk about here shortly. So this is why we start with the annuals. Yes, the information is behind, but this has the most information and the information is audited. This is important. Operating lease obligations. This is important for calculating total enterprise value. So I'm going to make a note of that so I don't have to find it later. I just go through in the notes. And where are we at? I think we're in the risk section. So things of note should be right here. And I'm not going to go through the whole total enterprise value calculation right now. That takes a little bit of time to do. So, but you do want these numbers, operating leases, to understand how to calculate that. Okay, this, again, like the risk sections above, pretty much straightforward stuff, talking about controls and what they do to find things and find problems and keep them from happening. These pretty much are always very similar. In this case, it's probably going to be slightly different because they're a government contractor, but there's usually not any major red flags in here if the wording is relatively similar. If they say their internal controls are not sufficient and they either have issues or they expect issues or they're finding issues, and again, usually that only happens after the issues are found years later, when you see something like that, then that's a red flag and you need to figure out what's going on. Okay, nothing major in here. Directors, executive and officer, corporate governance, pay, all that, that's in the proxy report, which we will read at some point after we finish up the annual report. This does get into some basics, but the full details are in the proxies. Okay, just an overview of stuff, the exhibits, blah, 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 blah. Again, I don't know why they repeat stuff constantly, but they do. Signatures. Okay, this was added. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Just the signatures of the principals of the company. Again, four indexes. Okay, these will almost always exactly say the same exact thing. If they don't, it will be down here in this section. We determined that there are no critical audit matters. It should always say something like that. If it doesn't, then if it says something along the lines, and again, this is usually only found years later and after the fact, if there's accounting issues or fraud or whatever, it will say something along the lines of, we've had to restate these, blah, 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 here's what happened, but it will almost always, again, unless found after the fact, it will say something. We determined that there are no critical audit matters to fix. Say something along those lines. Okay, balance sheet again. Huge cash increase because of the increase in revenues and profits. Same for accounts receivable. The 2020 numbers are going to be inflated. Again, as I mentioned in the last video, we're going to have to kind of account for that when doing the valuation of them. But nothing, at least in the top part, of major note. This is interesting. Operating lease, right of use asset. I want to know exactly what that is. And that we'll figure out down below in the footnotes, most likely. Goodwill. I don't care about Goodwill if you've seen my videos. My stock analysis videos. I don't like Goodwill. I'm not going to get into that here today. For tax assets, this, again, net operating loss carryforwards here is what these are. Sorry, that's my dog. This doggy COPD because he's old. Okay, accounts payable, again, huge rise because of the census and that project. Operating lease liabilities, almost the same as operating lease assets. Again, I want to know what those are. I don't see any major red flags, anything to note down here, except for this. Accumulated deficit. Most people don't pay attention to this number, but this number can be very important. The way I look at this is when it's positive, it's called shareholders' equity, or retained earnings. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing. Retained earnings, when it's positive. When it's negative, it's called accumulated deficit. What this measures is the entire cumulative profits or losses the company has had over the entire life of the company since it's been a public company. In this case, the entire company since it's been a public company has lost almost $60 million. It's decreased by about $10, $11 million. Again, apologize about my dog. by about $10, $11 million because they earned a large profit last year because of the huge increase in the census. Typically, you want this to be a positive number and retained earnings. When it is that number, it to me, I treat that as a, like a rainy day savings fund for business. Business rainy day fund is how I look at it. Why? Because that means those are profits they've used or hopefully used well to reinvest in the company. When this is negative, it's a, in my estimation, most of the time, a drag on the company's valuation. Not necessarily like I would subtract $59 million from this company's valuation. Because I wouldn't, but this is a drag on the valuation because this is money that the company's lost over time that they've either had to issue shares for, which they're doing, issue debt for, which they're doing, because they're not earning enough profits from their operations. And again, if they were doing that, that would add value to the company because they could keep doing what they want to be doing and operating well. Okay, again, huge bump in the revenues. I've already talked about several times. Huge increase in operating profits. So we already talked a little bit about the net operating loss carryforwards. Here's an illustration of that. Before the benefit, which is about $7.4 million, they earned net income of $2.9 million. That means their final net income was a positive $10.3 million. This is how powerful net operating loss carryforwards can be. They can be enormously powerful because essentially that added, what, $7.4 million almost in net income to the company's bottom line. This is also an illustration of why I don't use net income and why instead I use operating income because it shows the more realistic operational value of the company. But this does add the net operating loss carryforwards do add real world value to the company's valuation because it's money they don't have to pay taxes on. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Nothing major here. This statement, consolidated statement of changes in stockholders' equity. There's not usually a ton of super important information here, but I do look at it to see where things like stock compensation, issuance of stock, blah, 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 all that stuff is going, but it's not just typically a huge amount of super important information, either negatively or positively here. This is interesting though, reverse split adjustment. So they did a reverse stock split at some point, which again, I think we talked about at some point in one of the other videos. That, again, we need to figure out why. the assumption was, if my memory serves me right, was that their share price was below, I think it's, it depends on the exchange they're listed on, but it's, let's say it's below $5 per share. One of the requirements of most of the exchanges to have a share price above, say, $5 per share or $1 per share, whatever the exchange says. If it's not below that, oftentimes a company will do a reverse share split to increase the value of the shares to stay listed on the stock exchange. Cash flow. Okay. Again. Benefit here. Accounts receivable and unbilled receivables. That's a huge number, but that's, again, that's because of the increase from the project last year. Same thing down here with accounts payable. But again, this illustrates not only the net operating loss carryforwards, how they affect the company's income statement, cash flow statement, but also how much giant revenue increases affect literally everything with the company, which is what I talked about at the end of the last video. And in this case, going to 2021, huge revenue decreases will likely affect the company in a negative way as well. There's the issuance of stock. They got about $4.4 million from issuing stock. And not, we've already talked about a lot of this, so not a ton of super important information here. Same there. Okay, now we get into the footnotes. Most people hate reading footnotes. I love them. Yes, they are repetitive. Yes, a lot of this information we've already gone over, but especially when we get to certain things we have questions on, this is where the more detailed information will come in. And again, this is how you can gain another huge legal informational advantage over other investors by reading the footnotes, because again, most people hate it, and frankly, they don't do it because they hate it. But we're going to stop here, make another video on WidePoint, going over the footnotes next time, and this will be sooner, I promise. We were moving our schedule around, and then I realized WidePoint got kind of lost. but I will make another WidePoint video sooner, and we will talk about the footnotes. If you want to watch our other videos on WidePoint, at this point, still looks like a decent investment. It's frankly going to depend at this point on the valuation and the adjustments in the long term. In the loss of the census contract, and going forward, kind of normalizing their revenue, income, cash flows, all that stuff. But at this point, still looks like a reasonably good investment, depending on the valuation, which will be, again, significantly adjusted once we do that. But we should hopefully finish up the reading of the annual report next time, and then we get to some of the other stuff. Hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, make sure to like, love, share, subscribe on YouTube, all that good stuff. If you do subscribe on YouTube, make sure to also hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video, and release new videos all the time. Thanks so much for watching. Until next time, have a great day. Talk soon. Bye.